worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Oh, majesty, kingdom authority, flows from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. Sing with me, majesty. Authority flows from his throne.
Praise the Lord. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving. We position ourselves by faith to receive your word, to be transformed, to be renewed, to experience true fulfillment in every area of life. Father, it is to you that we have come. On this, the third day of the feast, we position ourselves to experience deliverance and provisions, grace abounding from the past, this present, and the future to come. In every realm, we receive from you and we honor you with all of our hearts. Today, we will receive your chosen vessel, Apostle Daniel Mattiola, a man that you've chosen before the foundations of the earth to be a voice in this season, in this time, to the world. We are so privileged to have him speak to us tonight. And Lord, do in us, every one of us, that which you have willed, that which you have purposed, that, Lord, your name be exalted and the forces of darkness fully shamed, disgraced, and, Lord, O God, stripped of every power as it's manifested in us and through us now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. I don't want to take much time, but to say that it is an honor to have this man of God. He is around 12 past midnight in the UK, the land of the king. For the longest time, we had a queen. Now we have a king. Hallelujah. So from the land of the king, my brother, son of the living God, we are so privileged to have you. And
thank you.
I know you're going to download some serious stuff into our spirits today. And I'm ready to receive. And so is everyone here.
Amen.
And so everyone out there in virtual land. Blessed be the name of the living God. How are you doing, first of all?
Thank you, Jesus. I'm just excited to be with you. Mm. It's such a honor and a privilege to be with the family of Glory and Peace. And most importantly, to you, Bishop and Mama Efezino. I thank God for this opportunity, and I'm looking forward to just letting the Lord do what he wants to do today.
Amen. How is your elect lady doing?
She's very well.
Awesome.
Very thankful. She's very well.
Praise God. Well, let me let you go on.
It's Hallelujah. Yours.
Thank you.
Glory to the Lord God Almighty. Glory to the King of Kings. Glory to the Lord of Lords. Glory to the Almighty Great I Am. I'm just going to ask if everyone would grab their Bibles. I'm going to go straight into reading an opening text, and then we're going to get into the Word of God. But once again, I want to give honor to whom honor is due. Bishop Mike, you have been an incredible blessing, a great, great, great man of God, one that many of us look up to in how the Lord has used you over the years, and how you've also been a personal blessing to my life and my wife and our ministry, particularly when we were based in Medford, Oregon, all those years ago when you would come and you would bless us with tremendous revelation. And also since we've been in the United Kingdom as well. So it's such a joy to be able to serve your family. Praise the name of the Lord. So I'm going to ask everyone under the sound of my voice to please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. I believe the Lord has given me a word in season tonight. Exodus chapter 25. And I'm going to be reading from the first verse to the ninth verse. Exodus 25. verses 1 to 9. And I'm just going to go for it. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering for everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold and silver, bronze, purple, blue, scarlet, thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I repeat that last verse, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. The first thought that I just want to convey is the fact that everything that God demands from man, he demands on purpose for a purpose. And our obedience to offer to God whatever he demands from us is always a setup for a mighty harvest from God. Here, clearly, God is putting a demand on his children, the covenant children that he had brought out of captivity and had made provision for them. And he's making a demand in season from them. And tonight, I just want to quickly mention this. We are in an interesting season. We are in the middle of a feast. And a time, again, where God is making a demand on purpose for a purpose. And tonight, I want to speak to you about this season that we're in. What is this time all about? How do we maximize this time? How do we identify what we ought to be doing, what we ought to be giving, and what we ought to be expecting? I have titled my message to you this time as, Let Our King Manifest Himself. For those of you who are taking down notes, if you want to write down the title for my message, it will be, Let Our King Manifest Himself. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to share a word of prayer very quickly. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you for your special grace and your special anointing to deliver your word. I thank you, Lord, that as I'm anointed to teach and to preach your word this time, that everyone under the sound of my voice, wherever they're joining from, would have a grace and the ability to understand this word. I will be able to put this word into practice that we may all profit and prosper as a result of the teaching of your word today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I wish I was there right there in the room with you. I would say you tap somebody next to you and say to that person, let our King manifest himself. Now, I want to talk to you about a couple of concepts as a foundation that I want to lay for the message that I believe the Lord has put on my heart for you today. Concept number one is the concept of portals. P-O-R-T-A-L-S, portals. Now, what are portals? Portals can simply be defined as a doorway, a gate, or access point from one place or time to another. I repeat that. A portal is a doorway, a gate, or an access point from one place to or time to another. There are what we call heavenly portals. And heavenly portals facilitate access for the King of Glory to come and encounter man. For example, we read in the story of Genesis chapter 28, verses 16 and 17, the man by the name Jacob, who had just embarked on a journey of destiny, left his father under his father's instruction, going on his way to his mother's uncle, now cries out to God and say, God, I'm going on this journey. I really need you to be with me. And if you will go with me and you would keep me in this journey, I'm just paraphrasing now. He said to God, I would come back and I would give a tithe to you. Cut long story short, Jacob puts his head on the stone. He goes to sleep. And right there, God gives him an encounter. The 16th verse says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now, that last statement, the gate of heaven, means Jacob acknowledged that he had just encountered a portal. There are a couple of different types of portal, but I want to talk to you mainly about two. One is geographical portals, and the other is a seasonal portal. Now, a geographical portal is when God has chosen a particular place to have an encounter with man. For Jacob, he had such an encounter with God in this place that he named this place Bethel, meaning the house of God. He literally declared, he said, this is none other than the house of God and the gates of heaven. He looked at the geographical spot and said, my goodness, how awesome is this geographical place? That this is none other than the house of God and the gates of heaven, because he realized that he was standing in a geographical portal, a place where God had come and accessed him and encountered him. Now, another form of portal that is important for us to understand is what I call seasonal portals. Now, these portals are portals that are available at certain seasons. Now, when I mention the word times here, I'm talking about the word kairos. The word kairos, there are certain seasons when man can have an encounter with God. Man can have an appointment with God. A seasonal portal, the best way I can describe it, is specific times in a year when God has made an appointment to meet with man. Now, before I go any further with that, I want to just say this little bit, because in the opening text, I had shared with you how Moses was instructed by God to command the children of Israel to bring an offering. And in the 8th verse, we read of what the offering was meant for. In the 8th verse of Exodus chapter 25, the Bible says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. In the 9th verse, there's the mention of the word tabernacle. Tabernacle. God said, I'm asking for this offering because I want you guys to make me a sanctuary that I may dwell with you. In other words, God is saying, make me a geographical portal. Make me a portal. Make me a place that I can come and let my glory dwell with you. Ladies and gentlemen, listening to me, if you study the Torah very closely, I mean, the Old Testament, first five books is what we call the Torah, you would notice that while the children of Israel were in the wilderness on their journey, truly God would come and he would dwell with them. The 12 tribes of Israel were in four directions, three tribes in each of the directions, north, south, east, and west, and they were all, they pitched their tent all facing the center, which was what the tabernacle was. And many times they could see the Shekinah glory of God. They could see the cloud. They could see the smoke. They could tell that the presence of God was in their midst. So when God said to them, build me a tabernacle, he meant it. He wanted to make that spot a spot that would be a geographical portal where they could encounter his presence. Now, let's shift back to the issue of the seasonal portals. What are the seasonal portals? Like I said to you earlier on, seasonal portals are specific times in the year when God has made an appointment with man to meet with man for man to encounter him. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 23. This particular chapter has record of a number of seasonal portals that God made available. Appointments. I'm going to read from the verse 33 to 36. I want to focus on a particular seasonal portal that we know today as the period of the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 33. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work in it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And on the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly. You shall do no customary work on it. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, here we read God clearly stating to the children of Israel through his prophet Moses that he wanted them to make or put aside certain dates in the calendar annually, and during that time they were to do certain acts, they were to do certain duties, they were to, for example, make sure that they bring offerings to the Lord, make sure they declare holy convocation. Why? Because God wants to meet with them, encounter them, and do certain things for them that was really important. Now, I must also stop here for a moment to quickly lay this foundation. There are many people today who would say things like, oh, these feasts are for the Jewish people. They are not for the believers in Jesus Christ. This is wrong. These are not Jewish feasts. These are God's feasts. If you go back to the book of Exodus chapter 12, where God spoke to the congregation of Israel, well, spoke to Moses and the congregation of Israel ultimately about the feast, he made it very clear to them that these are his feast. God, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, for example, when he was talking about the Passover, he said, "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." So two things. Number one, this feast are God's feast. It's very important we understand that it's not Jewish feast. As a matter of fact, when God was instituting this feast, there was nothing like a Jewish people. They were not known as Jews then. They were just the Hebrews who had come out of Egypt, or the children of Israel, and ultimately, really, the first covenant children of God on the face of the earth. So the first thing to understand is that it's God's feast. The second thing to understand is that God says it's an everlasting ordinance. How long is everlasting? Everlasting. How long is it going to last? Forever. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot write this off to be something just for a people we know today as Jews in Israel, and we cannot write it off as something that is done over and done with. As long as we are covenant children of God, we're supposed to pay attention to the instructions of God to his covenant children. You know, it's really interesting. Many times we believers today in the 21st century, we have absolutely no problem to claim the promise of God in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And we're very quick to say Abraham's blessings are ours, because the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he becomes joint heirs to the promise of Abraham. Now, if we're going to claim the blessings of Abraham, then we also need to understand the covenant practice or practices that was given to the children of Abraham or the descendants of Abraham who are going to be partakers of the blessings. Now, with that said, let me share a little bit with you about the Feast of Tabernacles, because we have just come into the season of this feast, and it's really important you understand what this feast is, and I want to connect this feast to what we should be expecting now in this 21st century. The Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths or Sukkot, is the seventh and the last feast that the Lord commanded Israel to observe. It is one of the three feasts that the Jews were to observe each year by going to appear before the Lord, their God, in the place that he would choose. Take notice of that again. God said, you come appear before me at a particular time, in a particular place. Can you see that again? A combination of the seasonal and the geographical portals so that you can experience the glory of God. Praise the name of the Lord. As a matter of fact, God gave them many different instructions when it comes to this issue of the Feast of Tabernacles. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 16 and 17, God said, three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place that he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. I'm going to say that again. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. You see, when we truly are expecting an encounter with God, you don't go empty-handed. You come before the Lord with a seed. I'm expecting that in this next few days, every wise son and daughter of God should be ready, prepared with a seed that you come before the Lord with. I remember just a few moments ago, a bishop was alluding to the fact that I am in the United Kingdom, and here in the United Kingdom, we have a king. One of the protocols that you must observe if you have an opportunity to meet with the king is that you can't go before a king empty-handed. Even when presidents of countries, President Donald Trump was here recently, he could not appear before the king empty-handed. You have to come with a gift. You must bring a gift because it's considered dishonor. So for the sons and daughters of God who really want to have an encounter with Yeshua and want to have an encounter with our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we must understand that one of the very basic things that we must prepare is a gift. In verse 17, it says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. You see that God is fair. God is saying, I know what I've done for you. I know how much I've blessed you. So according to my blessing in your life, you bring me a gift. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going to show you something else in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 10 and 11. Again, it's another portion of scripture where God gives Moses an instruction to the people. I read verse 10, Deuteronomy 31, verse 10. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel come to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. You see that again? At the appointed time in the place that he chooses. Praise the name of the Lord. So during this feast, there are so many other traditions that are kept. For example, the Jews till today will keep the tradition of sleeping in booths. They would leave the house, the covered house, and they would make a tent with thatched leaves and literally create a booth and would sleep in there during the Feast of Tabernacles as a reminder of the time when their ancestors lived in tents in the wilderness. But there's something else that is very important about the issue of the booths, and I really need to bring this up with you. See, one of the things about being able to sleep in the booths is they can look up. They can look up with expectation. They were to leave ready to see the glory of God come and dwell with them. Now, for that reason, I'm going to quickly share something with you, which is also very important. Out of the seven feasts that God had ordained, I mean the seven major feasts, four of them are feasts that has already been fulfilled. Out of the seven. Now you got to understand, when this feast were being put in place, that as of Exodus 12, the first time God spoke to them about the feast, they had just experienced instructions for the Passover. And God said, every year I want you to commemorate this Passover. I want this to be a holy convocation. Now, for the Passover, it was now something that they would do yearly to remember what the Lord had done for them at Passover. Now, the other feasts, step by step, those feasts began to be fulfilled. For example, we know that it was during Passover that Jesus went to the cross. So in Exodus, it was the precious Lamb of God. But by the time Jesus went on the cross, he made himself the precious Lamb of God. Now, not to go too deeply into that, there are three feasts, the last three feasts, that are yet to be fulfilled on the earth. They are the Feast of Trumpets, which is the period of Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. There is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and there is the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, if you have an understanding of this, again, I don't want to go too deeply into this because I don't want to make it my focus, but the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, is a feast that is to prepare us. It's a holy convocation preparing us for the rapture. Remember the rapture? The scriptures in Thessalonians, the blowing of the trumpet and the catching up of the saints. The Day of Atonement is the most holy day. This was just a few days ago when that was celebrated, not just in Israel, but Jews all over the world. It's the holiest day of the year for them. It's the day that they believe that they are to come before the Lord, repent, and make sure that if God will judge them, he will judge them right. Now, this is a type in the shadow of the judgment that is to come. The key one that I'm talking about here tonight, the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot, is a representation of the second coming of our Lord and Savior to come tabernacle with the saints on the earth. Some of you may have heard some speculations about, oh, Jesus was coming back a few weeks ago that said, oh, some man prophesied that the rapture would happen. I think it was the 23rd of September. Now, here is the thing. Those who understand scripture and understand eschatology know that it's going to happen during the Feast of Trumpets. But we don't know what year. We don't know when it will happen. We just know the season for which it will happen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, going back to the issue of Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, is to represent God coming to dwell with man once again. Christ returning to dwell with man. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Because Feast of Tabernacles has connection with kingdom manifestation. During the Feast of Tabernacles is the time when we can release our faith to experience the glory of God, to experience God's presence, to experience encounters with God. Now, personally for me, in our ministry, Kingdom Faith Ministries International, every year during the Feast of Tabernacles, we are instructed to put together a conference. We have been doing this for the last 7 years now. And when the Lord spoke to me about that conference, he said, call this conference Kingdom Manifestation and put it in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Lord literally opened my eyes to see from scripture that we have every right to believe him during this time for him to come and show himself. Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is actually going to start tomorrow here in the United Kingdom. And we are believing God for a mighty move of the Spirit of God like we have seen in previous years. Last year, it was incredible. I mean, we had days where the glory was so tangible that my guest ministers could not minister. I mean, literally, there was one session when the minister kept trying to minister. Eventually, he was flat on the platform there because the presence was so strong, all of us ended up on the floor. So we know we can experience kingdom manifestation. Now, what is this thing that I'm referring to as kingdom manifestation? I'm going to take a moment to just teach you a little bit about the kingdom of God and then really delve deep into the kingdom manifestation, because that's what I really want us to look at when I say, let the king manifest himself in this season of the Feast of Tabernacles. The best way I can describe the kingdom of God, for those of you who are not familiar with this concept, is that the kingdom of God is the extension of the rule, the authority, and the influence of God into another realm, where he is accepted as king and lord. So that realm, that place where the rule, authority, and influence of God extends to, and they receive God as king, becomes a king's dominion. It becomes a kingdom, king's domain, a place where the king can exercise his rulership. The kingdom of God is a real and a tangible place. And operating in the kingdom of God requires faith in its existence, its power, and its superiority. John the Baptist, all through his time in ministry, talked about this kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, his primary message to the people before Jesus showed up was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, according to Matthew, who didn't want to use the word God, obviously because he was addressing the Jews, and Jews believe that the name of God must not be used in vain. But when you look at the other Gospels, you would see that wherever the kingdom of heaven was used in Matthew, it was kingdom of God in Mark and Luke, for example. Now, going back to this, the message of John the Baptist was, repent, the kingdom of God is near. Jesus shows up. In Matthew chapter 3, for example, he begins his ministry, and Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, he makes the same declaration, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what's this message all about? What Jesus was teaching was the fact that Father God in heaven has just extended his rule, his authority, his influence into the earth realm. And as many as will receive him as king over their life, their hearts becomes a domain where he reigns. And that's how the kingdom expands. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. You enter into the dimension of the kingdom of God by faith. It is something you enter that is within you because the heart of man has been opened. You've opened your heart and you've received him as king, and your heart becomes a domain where he reigns. And then that influence of his reign in your heart begins to affect everything on the external around you. Praise the name of the Lord. That's why many times, though Jesus was on the earth, Jesus will make statements like, I am not of this world. Because Jesus saw himself as one who had come as an extension of that rulership of heaven in the earth realm. Jesus was not held or limited in any way, shape, or form by the conditions of the earth. Jesus operated at a level where even the laws of the earth was suspended for him. Why? He came as a citizen of another kingdom and bringing the power, the rulership, the authority of that kingdom into this earth realm. So when I talk about kingdom manifestation, I'm talking about what occurs when there's agreement between the kingdom of heaven and the earth. Kingdom manifestation is what happens when heaven's will and reality comes to pass here on the earth. When the kingdom manifests, what is not permitted in heaven will no longer be permitted on the earth. Kingdom manifestation is about causing the reality of the invisible world to supersede or superimpose itself upon whatever adverse circumstances we are dealing with here on the earth. And that is why Jesus operated the way he was. Jesus had flesh and blood while he was on the earth, but he operated as a citizen of another kingdom with the rulership, the power, and the dominion of that kingdom, such that even the wind and the waves obeyed him because the operation, the power he was operating from, was from heaven. The one who created the wind and the waves. That's why the laws of physics, Archimedes' principle, had to be suspended when Jesus walked on water, because he was operating from another dimension, and that dimension, its rulership, its power, its authority is superior to what happens on the earth. Let me tell you a little bit more about kingdom manifestation. For example, there's what we call kingdom healthcare. In Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 29, we read of the story of the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible tells us of this woman who had had an illness and infirmity that had lasted for 12 years, and there was just nothing that she tried that worked. She had spent all her money with physicians and she still wasn't healed. And this woman obviously had gone through all this physical illness. She had probably gone through a lot of emotional pain because she would have been an outcast just dealing with this continuous bleeding for 12 years of her life and so on and so forth. But one day she heard that the Messiah was in town. And the Bible says she pushed herself through the crowd and was muttering to herself. By faith, she was declaring, if I may just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Eventually, she managed to push through to get to Jesus, touch the edge of his garment. We understand that this is the zitzis, the phalanges, or the tassels of his prayer shawl. And she touched it, and immediately she was made whole. Now, there's all kinds of theological debates and arguments about what exactly happened there. Sometimes I just like to say, you know, Jesus carried the atmosphere of heaven. Jesus carried the power and authority of another kingdom, such that the force field around him, the anointing, the glory presence around him, was such that can touch the reality of others on the earth and exchange it with the reality of heaven. And because there is no bleeding permitted for women in heaven, that bleeding had to be stopped when that woman came close enough to a carrier of the glory presence of God. We understand this about Jesus. One of the things I was commonly written in the Gospels was that he would set himself apart and he would spend time with his Father. He would pray. A man of prayer, a man of the presence of God, will always have the smell of the presence of God, will always carry the scent of the glory of God. So you see that right there, when the kingdom of God manifests, when heaven's rule and heaven's authority supersedes what is happening in the natural, what happens? Healing takes place. A woman with an issue of blood for 12 years instantly is healed. And as a result, you see many, many stories in the gospel of Jesus going from place to place. And wherever he went, he carried this authority of heaven with him. He carried this kingdom power, this kingdom dominion that supersedes anything in the natural. And he manifests the will of his Father. Praise the name of the Lord. So kingdom manifestation can manifest in kingdom healthcare. Kingdom manifestation can also manifest in kingdom deliverance. Ladies and gentlemen, when the power of heaven is made manifest in the earth realm, chains are broken, burdens are lifted off, yokes are destroyed. Why? Because even the agents of the kingdom of darkness that specialize in holding captives, they understand when they experience this glory presence. They know they can't stay in that atmosphere. There are foul spirits called spirits of infirmity. I mean, spirits that cause all kinds of bondage. They've got to go. Just like sickness has got to go, chains have to be broken. In Mark chapter 9, verses 17 to 27, we read the story of a demonized boy who was healed. And this boy was brought by his father to the disciples of Jesus, and they were not that skilled at the time. They really couldn't deal with that situation. But Jesus came, and at his word, at his declaration, this boy was delivered. Again, why? Because the kingdom manifested. One who knew how to be a dual citizen. Jesus Christ knew how to be on earth, a citizen of earth, but at the same time, a citizen of heaven. Jesus was on the earth, but he had such a connection with heaven that he could see what his Father was showing him while he was on the earth. He could hear what his Father was saying, and he could follow the direction in bringing the atmosphere of heaven into the earth realm, in releasing the power and the authority of heaven into the earth realm. So kingdom healthcare is possible. Kingdom deliverance is possible. Then kingdom provision, ladies and gentlemen. In the book of Luke chapter 5 verses 1 to 9, we read of the story of fishermen, experienced fishermen, very skilled, had toiled all night and they had caught nothing. And they had come back with their boats and they were washing their nets. I mean, they were just done for the day. Obviously, these guys would have been quite upset because it meant there was no money to be made from fishes that they would have sold. Jesus comes, he teaches. Now, Jesus teaches on the kingdom. If you study the gospel closely, you'll find out that most of the teachings of Jesus was around the kingdom. You would hear statements like, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. What shall we liken the kingdom to? Because he came to bring mankind into the dimension of the kingdom, that we may enter the kingdom of God, and we don't need to go to a heaven before we enter the dimension of the kingdom of God. Because it's important I say this to you. The kingdom of God is not the same thing as going to heaven. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 9, Jesus finished preaching and then says, all right, he preached on the boat that was Peter's boat and then said, okay, guys, let's go back out and catch a fish. Now, this was when Peter lamented, hey, we've tried this stuff. We've gone all night and we've caught nothing. Peter is an experienced fisherman. Jesus is not. But Jesus says, hey, let's go out anyway. Peter goes and grabs one net instead of a whole bunch of nets. He said, well, at thy word, I'm going to do it. They go, they launch into the deep, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with the story. There's all these fish coming in, filling the net, net breaking. They're pulling fish into the boat, boat beginning to sink. They call their partners, James and John, and the rest of it is just an incredible story of prosperity. Because all of a sudden, these guys have so much fishes to sell. They have so much money they're making as a result of it. As a matter of fact, the tax man came after them shortly after. Because you would have heard the story of them now talking about, should we pay taxes? You see, these guys would not be afraid to pay taxes if they were broke and were not making some decent money. Praise the name of the Lord. So you can have kingdom healthcare. You can have kingdom deliverance. You can have kingdom provision. These are all manifestations when heaven invades earth. You must believe wholeheartedly that the kingdom of God is real. And the kingdom of God wants to manifest wherever we will let it manifest. Now, let's bring all this together. Feast of Tabernacles is an appointed time for us. It's a time that we have the right to believe God for an encounter. It's a time we have a right to believe God to come and to show up in our lives. It's a time that we can believe God for his glory to be made manifest. It's a time that we can believe God that we can be changed. Ladies and gentlemen, sermons are good. It gives us truth. It gives us understanding. That's great. Teachings are good. We get wisdom. But when you have an encounter with God, when you have an encounter with the presence of God, it can change your very life in an instant. If you don't believe me, ask the woman at the well of Samaria. One encounter with Jesus, her life is transformed. Ask Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. One encounter with Jesus, his life is transformed. Ask Zacchaeus. One encounter with Jesus, his life is transformed. Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to a week that we can believe God for a real encounter. It's so important you understand this. Now, in a moment, I'm going to challenge you with something that you've got to do as you're believing for this encounter. But first, I want you to listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. I want to share with you what this is all about. Why is it important to God that you, his children, would commemorate feasts like the Feast of Tabernacles? Why does he need us to have encounters with his glory presence? Why is it important that we don't miss this period, but we maximize this period and we have an encounter? Just like I told you, for us in Kingdom Faith Ministries International, over the next few days, I'm telling you, we are ready. The Lord blessed us with a building that we purchased last year. We are expecting so much more people that we've had to have a tent built that has just been attached to the building so that we can have some of the people be in the tent because our building is not that big. I mean, we are just trusting God that the presence of God will be there. We're trusting God that there will be healings, there will be deliverances, there will be miracles. We're trusting God for the glory of God to be tangible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please listen to this. God gives a prophetic promise to his covenant children. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen on you. The Gentiles will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of our rising. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is what it's all about. Verse 2 says, behold, darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. And I'm sure you know I'm not talking about darkness like the absence of the sun. I'm talking about ignorance. I'm talking about wickedness. I'm talking about fake news. I'm talking about ugly things happening by people who are in government. I'm talking about people just being twisted-minded, just absolute wickedness. What is supposed to be evil in the sight of God is what some people are fighting for as good. And what is good, some people are saying, oh, you guys are being prejudiced by doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, like we have never seen before, the level of anti-Semitism at this time is just huge. People hating Israel. I mean, Western countries coming against Israel. Our world is in trouble. Our world is in need of light bearers to come and shine light in the midst of all of the darkness and the ignorance. And this is where you and I now need to be ready to rise up and shine. The clarion call to us is that we're to arise and to shine. Ladies and gentlemen, that word arise in the original Hebrew also means to come up to the scene, to show up, to step out. We're to arise and shine, for our light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So can you see the key? The key for you to shine is you must have had the glory of God rise upon you. Ladies and gentlemen, the third verse says, it is your light that will attract the Gentiles. Gentiles here means those who are outside of covenant with God. In 21st century language, we say the unbelievers, those who are not yet born again. They're supposed to be attracted to our light. And then the kings represent the men and women of influence, the movers and shakers, the power brokers in our cities and in our nations. They're to come to the brightness of our rising. It means you and I are supposed to be such glory carriers that the unsaved would notice, the leaders would notice us. And how are we going to be able to shine like that? Only because the glory of God has risen upon us. Ladies and gentlemen, that time has come again. It's come and you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. With everything that the bishop has planned over the next 3 days to bring sons and daughters together for this Kairos moment, for this seasonal portal, do not miss it. Wherever you're joining from, wherever you're listening to me from, it is time for you to do your part to prepare. I hope this message I've shared with you will release your faith to say, these are not ordinary days that we have this week during this Feast of Tabernacles. But would you take one step further? Would you prepare a sacrificial offering to say, God, I am ready. Father, I want to experience your glory. I want to experience your presence. I challenged members of our churches who are preparing for our conference. I said, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to put any of our conference delegates on any kind of pressure. I said, let's begin to sow ahead in preparation for Feast of Tabernacles, because every seed we sow is going to facilitate this conference where we experience the glory of God. And for every soul that comes to our facility, our building, and experiences the glory of God, the harvest goes to all those who are the facilitators. But most importantly, I also shared with them from scripture, God commands it. He says, you dare not come before me empty-handed, expecting my glory to be made manifest. It's time. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how this is going to be done. Maybe I'm just going to leave it to Bishop, and Bishop can give the instructions of what needs to be done. But you need to prepare a sacrificial offering today, this first day, and say, God, I need your glory to be made manifest in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to show up more than ever before. The Lord's blessed me. The Lord's used me. I've had the privilege of ministry around the world. I just was just with an apostle tonight, just sharing with that apostle how last year I was on 48 different aircraft from January to December, just visiting nations, preaching in different places and conferences. But I'm still saying, God, I know there is more. I know there is more. I know there's more of your glory. I know there's more of your power. I know there's more that heaven has to offer me. I am hungry as one that will arise and will shine. How about you? Are you hungry to arise and shine too? Do you know you're not a wandering generality, but you are a meaningful specific? You are here on earth in this time on purpose for a purpose. If you're listening to me today and you're alive for this Feast of Tabernacles, I want you to become determined. I am going to become a glory carrier. I will encounter the glory of God during this Feast of Tabernacles. I will encounter his Shekinah. I will encounter his kabod. I will encounter his weightiness. And I will be one that will shine for God, because our world is getting darker and desperately in need of the glory carriers. Let us pray. If you just bow your heads for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for all of your sons and daughters that have heard me and have heard this word that you put upon my heart to share with them. Lord, you said, let me manifest myself. Let our King manifest himself. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for every hearer to understand this word. I pray for every heart to be stirred to do what we need to do. There are other men of God that are going to share your word this week, that are going to bring different divine instructions. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, ears to hear, heart to obey. And Father, the faith to act this very moment, that we may experience what you have in store for us. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity of another seasonal portal, another Kairos moment. And we pray that by your grace, we will maximize it this year. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Now, with that said, I just want to pray for you. Again, Bishop, I'm going to leave the aspect of the offering. I know it's a very, very important aspect. It needs to be done tonight. Something sacrificial from everyone in the different ways in which they're going to do it. But before that, I just really just want to pray and just release a few words as the Lord would give it to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you right now. I thank you, Nene, and Doribo Subrekidi Bakalamandorobo Shibrekide Kadaya, that you want to do with your children and who you want to minister to. Lord, I don't know who this person is. Your name starts with J, kind of along the lines of Julie or Juliet. Julie or Juliet. Father, I just thank you for Julie or Juliet. I thank you, Father God, that what looks like a disappointment right now is going to be turned around for her good in the name of Jesus. Wherever this person is, with this name, wherever this person is, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus for the appointment for a turnaround. The appointment for a turnaround in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's somebody else under the sound of my voice. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, you've been so frustrated that literally joining this meeting for you was just one of those, let me just try one more time. Let me just join a meeting one more time. Let me even see whether I'm going to hear something that will give me hope. Whoever you are, I believe this is a man, and you've just felt like life has thrown you so many curveballs, and things have just been really rough, and everything you've tried has not worked. And you know it's you, because before you joined tonight, what was going on in your heart is that I'm just going to give this a try. I pray over you in the name of Jesus Christ that this be your moment of a turnaround. This be your moment of a turnaround. This be your moment of a turnaround in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm also picking one or two words of knowledge for healing, but I've always learned to do this. I don't give words of knowledge for healing without first explaining what it is, because I don't know who my audience is, whether you really understand it. A word of knowledge is a supernatural download from God. It's when God supernaturally lets us know about a condition that he wants to heal or minister to, or something going on that I would not otherwise have known in the natural. The Lord uses me in this gift, and he will tell me about conditions that require healing. And so here is how it works. When I mention a condition that is your condition, you need to respond immediately to receive the prayer that I'm going to pray. As a matter of fact, if there's a way for you to put something in the text to say, that is me, the apostle is talking about me, please do that. If I was in the same room with you, I would say something like, stand up or put your hand up to acknowledge the word of knowledge. For example, there's somebody that is watching me today that I've been experiencing a pain in your hands. I don't know whether they've told you some sort of carpal tunnel or something like that, but there's just been pain in your hand. It's a pain that is kind of, it gives a bit of a tingly feeling as well with it. I just pray for you right now in the name of Jesus Christ that the healing touch of God from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, I say be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever is wrong that is causing it, I say let it be healed, let it be healed, let it be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Please feel free to put a message out to say, that's me, it's me. And I want you also to be able to get in touch with the bishop or the ministry to let them know what exactly has taken place as I pray. There's somebody else that it is the back of your neck. I don't know who this person is, but the back of your neck, there's a pain. You may have slept wrong. I don't know whether you slept wrong with your neck, but you've been experiencing pain in the back of your neck. Right now, as I'm describing it, the healing balm in Gilead is touching you. The power of the Almighty God is just overshadowing you right now. And your neck is being healed now in the name of Jesus. Be healed, be healed, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, this one is specific. It's a right shoulder. I don't know who this is for. It's a right shoulder. It's around this whole shoulder, not the shoulder blade, but where this joint is from the shoulder area to the arm. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whatever it is, seemed like it was an accident. I don't know whether you were in the gym or what was the situation regarding your accident. I speak healing to you now in the name of Jesus. I say be healed. Be healed, be healed. One more person, it's a sore throat. It's a sore throat kind of condition. I'm just going to give you an unusual instruction now. I'm just going to say you go find a little bit of warm water somewhere and just take one or two sips. And your act of faith in responding to this instruction is going to be the release for your healing. So I speak over your throat in the name of Jesus. I say, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, I will pray. There are about two or three of you that over the next 2 to 3 days, you're going to receive instructions from the Lord through the teachings, through the ministries that Bishop has put together for you that are going to literally be instructions of commissioning for you. So please pay attention. You've been asking God for some specifics about your assignment before God, and you're in particular thinking, okay, God, when do I do this? And the word will come so clear, you would know that it's a commissioning word. And when that happens, please, if you're a son or daughter of the house, you go speak to your bishop and you share with him, this is what Apostle Daniel said on that day, and this is what happens, and this is why you believe that this was a word for you. Praise the name of the Lord. I just pray for everyone that has been listening to me. May the hand of the Lord come upon you. May his grace be sufficient for you. May his strength be made perfect in your weakness. I pray that as you obey the instructions of the Lord today with what is in scripture that we're commanded to do when we are expecting an encounter with God, I pray that your encounter will not pass you by in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you believe it wherever you are, shout aloud, amen. Amen, 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 in Jesus' mighty name, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, Bishop, over to you. Praise the name of the Lord.
Wow. Hallelujah. You were cooking hallelujah. hot. That was so powerful.
Thank you.
I love good teaching. And that was an extraordinary level. You just presented the case. And nobody here in this building or listening virtually will say, I don't understand. No, you broke it down so perfectly. And I really, really appreciate what God has used you to accomplish today. I know you're trying to pass the buck to me for this offering, and I'm going to bat it back over to you in this wise, because I believe God has particular instructions, and so just give the instruction and I'll come back.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. So here is it. God is not ambiguous about what he wanted the children of Israel to do. When he wanted them to build a tabernacle, he made it very clear. He said to them, you bring me. And in the case of Exodus chapter 25, God said, for those who are willing, take my offering. And he said, this is going to be the offering. Gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, and so on and so forth. Now, you would say, why would God be so specific and why would God demand what he wants? Well, for the simple reason, because God owns everything. They had nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, remember that the children of Israel, as of the time they were in Egypt, were just slaves. Slaves don't own nothing. So if they had gold with them and silver and bronze, it was by God's divine favor. Remember the instruction that seemed like an instruction that made no sense. Go to your masters. Go to your Egyptian masters and tell them, I want to borrow your gold. You know, madam, can I borrow your trinket? Can I borrow your jewelry? And that's how they ended up with all of this belongings and all of this wealth. Now, God, who is the author of the provision, who is the maker of the provision, who is the provider of the provision in the first place in their life, had every right to demand some of it for them to bring so that the tabernacle could be built. But ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, what I want you to understand is it's not so much that God needs the material wealth. It's not that God needs your offering in terms of the money. It's just a setup for you to be able to have your tabernacle established. So today we're not building a physical tabernacle. But as you put your hands in your pocket, as we would use the expression, and release a seed, make sure it's a sacrificial seed. I'm not going to tell you a number. Remember what he said. He said, you make the offering according to how the Lord has blessed you. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17, I read it to you again. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Please remember this. God knows exactly what you have in your bank account. He knows what you have in your investment account. He knows how much stock you have. He knows how much gold you have. God is aware of how much. Even your crypto can be encrypted from the world, but it's not encrypted from God. He knows exactly what he's giving you. And when God says, bring me an offering and bring me a sacrificial offering, between you and God, you know what that means. One of the things I'm always very careful about, I never say to people, oh, give God $100 or give God $500. Because guess what? $500 could be a big deal to one person and could be absolutely nothing to another. But if I say to you, you prepare an offering of what matters to you, knowing that God knows what you have and knowing that everything you have was given to you by God anyway, because you would have nothing except he gave it to you, then you prepare that. You prepare that. And finally, I believe Bishop will tell you exactly how to release that seed on this platform. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Very clear instructions. So tonight, I want you to obey that instruction from the Lord. You know how God has blessed you, what God has blessed you with. And he's asking you to candidly, from the clarity and understanding of you knowing and appreciating that he's the one who's blessed you, that you should bring something sacrificial from that and present it to him. Now, you may not have that amount with you right now if you are here in this building. So what I will encourage you to do then is take two envelopes, give whatever it is that you are able to give now, but give me the second envelope that states what you're going to do while we're having these meetings, and say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I've done. This is what I'm going to do. It is a commitment to the Lord, and God will meet you at that place and honor your commitment. Amen? When I came tonight during praise and worship, I shouldn't have been doing during praise and worship, but it was still part of my worship. I was busy putting all of my offerings together. So everything right through till the very last day, I've already put it in an envelope. But that is not limiting me. That's just something I just did. But I'm still keeping my ears open to hear from God. Because if I have not come to the place where I should be, he will speak to me and say, just like he does all the time. Most of the time, I will say, my money. He calls it his money. And every time I've honored God in doing that, he surprised me. Praise the Lord. He is faithful. So if you know that God has been good to you, express thanksgiving. Amen? Hallelujah. Man of God, I am so thrilled in my spirit. Where did he go? Oh, there he is. I'm so thrilled in my spirit by the word God gave to you for us tonight. It's so powerful. You know, normally during the feast, I will go through all those kind of details. But this time the Lord says, leave that alone. That's not your assignment. Just do this and do this. And today you just brought it. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. If you heard the word of the Lord from Apostle tonight, you've been set up for greater things.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Let the King manifest himself. Wow. Wow. As I was walking up to introduce you, the Lord says, don't forget to say that he is in the land of the King. I didn't know that's what you're going to be talking about. God is in all of this.
Yes.
Are you ready to let the King manifest himself in your life and in our land? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, if there's anything I can say to you, I'm going to come back to you, man of God, and release you in just a moment. Make sure that all of the meetings, all of the days, that you get the messages and go through them again and again. There's too much information that has been put out during this last 3 days and for the next 4-5 days. It's 7 days, yes? But the Word of God says the 8th day. Did you notice that? It says that is a special day. So don't miss out. If you've missed out on any of the days, repent now and hook up and stay through, because this is a special time. Amen? I know he will not be able to hear us, or maybe he might hear us, but let us celebrate the gift of God. Amen.
Amen.
We celebrate you, man of God. Wow, I.
Thank you, thank you.
You don't say to ministers, "I've seen so much growth," but just excuse me.
Yes, please.
To say that, the depth. Wow, the articulation by the anointing that has come through. Line upon line upon line. You didn't miss anything. You just bang, 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 bang. Oh, my Lord God Almighty. I'm going to listen to this again and again. I really, really appreciate you, Apostle Daniel Matiola. Please extend our warm regards to your elect Lady Ruth and to your, I know children, you have an empty house now, and everybody's out there. So say hello to the rest of the family, wherever they are.
I will.
And
I will.
We love you, we celebrate you, and we look forward to fellowshipping again and again. Don't forget, next year.
Thank you. Yes.
You got to be here. Amen.
Yes.
You got to be here.
I will be there.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. Amen.
God bless you, Bishop.
Thank you so very much.
God bless you, family.
Bless you to you. Bless you. Let's once again give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, please come. If you have a desired amount that God has spoken to you, I will give me that information. I'm going to be giving thanks to the Lord for you, standing in agreement with you to be able to do that during this time. Amen? But everyone else can just go ahead and put it up there. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stay there.
God knows I have nothing yet, but he told me to give $5,000 in order.
Say that again.
God told me I have nothing today. God told me to give you $5,000 when I get my $300,000.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Bless you. All right. Is there anyone that doesn't have anything to give? Should not come. Okay. Can somebody put something in his hand so he has something to give? What is this thing with left hand this evening?